Welcome to Business Video Marketing Strategies and WealthyWeb Block Talk. This is David Cummings. I appreciate you joining us today. It's a fine day here, the sun is shining, and I know that we're going to talk great information which can really help you in your business. In today's show, we've got a fantastic guest, and she can actually add three, or show you how to add 3 hours to your day. It's an amazing system, and I'd like to introduce you to Shari Maguire.
Thank you for having me on today.
I appreciate you joining me. Really do. Now, you're famous, if I could say that, on a lot of websites and radio talk shows all around the world. I noticed ABC News, 98.5, KTS, and The Red Book, MSN Living. It's quite amazing. You've done quite a show all around.
Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
It seems like you have got a lot of great ideas to help people actually add a lot of time to their day, which seems like a great concept. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I can. So one of the things that I found really is that I reached a point where I had been studying time management for a long time and wasn't getting it, and I had an aha moment. And from there, then I launched the Shrink Your Workweek business, which really the key to all of this that I'm teaching is to get clear on why. Why do you want to have different results going forward? Because then all the tips that I've got, like in my book, 101 Simple Tips to Shrink Your Workweek, that you can use those tips to then put 3 or more hours back in your day.
Right. And I'm sure we could all use another few hours every day. It seems like 24 just isn't quite enough.
It doesn't, but you know, it's interesting. Once you get smarter about how you're working, you can fit in, you know, it's interesting. It's not even always more, but you can fit in the right things in your day.
Right, right. So can I ask you then, what actually started you on this journey? Where did you actually come from to realize that this is your passion to help people find more hours in their day?
Well, it was an interesting, bumpy journey that I was on. I had been working a corporate job and was burned out, had started a different business, and actually walked away from the big corporate job to go launch that other business. And the business failed 5 months later, and I reinvented myself for a short period of time as a management consultant. But really, in the end, 8 months later, I needed to go back to being a contractor. It's something that you can do where you go say, I'll have a 6-month contract to manage information technology projects. And it was in going back that I decided that for the first time in my life, I was going to stand up for my family. And this was my chance to actually do that. And it was then that I figured that secret out of saying, you know what, I'm going to make different choices because I want to get to my son's karate lessons by 4:30 in the afternoon, and I needed to leave work by 3 in the afternoon. And so then that became that compass against which I made lots of choices in my career.
Right, so it sounds like you sort of integrated your most important priorities right throughout your whole life, right against your work life as well.
I did, and it was so empowering to get that because, see, then I went on to lead my largest project ever that summer in just 40 hours a week, where I would have been working 70 hours a week before.
Wow, that's quite a lot.
It was a lot of work to pull out, but I was doing the right things. I was being smart, and I was making good choices, and the project was very successful. I did not need to put in those extra 30 hours a week.
Right, okay, so by working smarter, you obviously found little pieces of everything in your life that could be improved.
I did. So let me give you an example of a tip that would be helpful. One of the things that people do is we get invited to a meeting and we automatically go to it. However, just because you got invited doesn't mean you need to go. It's great to go back to the organizer and say, can you help me understand why you invited me to this meeting? I want to make sure that I bring what I need with so that I'm well prepared. And a lot of times you might get from that person, oh, gee, well, I didn't know who to invite, so I just invited a whole bunch of people. Well, so then you can begin to say, okay, well, let me see what your agenda is. And if you truly don't need me at that meeting, you won't even necessarily ask that person. You'll say, you know what, I will be happy to read the meeting minutes. If you need something from me, contact me afterwards. You could send someone in your place, but don't just automatically assume that you need to go to that meeting because it's going to be a waste of your time.
Absolutely. That is a great tip, actually, and I find a lot of people in my circles in the corporate world actually do that as well. They think they just because they've got an invite, they have to go. Certainly not the case. That's good. Good tip. Another question I've got here is, who do you think would benefit most from shrinking your work week? Is it just a corporate person, or is it someone out in the tools as well?
I work with entrepreneurs, busy professionals, and small business owners are the primary clients that I work with. It really works best with people who are wanting to work less. And then the other piece of my business, too, that I also really help a lot are people who just have big goals and don't seem to get there because they don't know how to break it down. And that's where all that project management background that I've got comes into play. So I can help you break those goals down and actually achieve them for a change.
Right. So that could also be focusing on the more high priority, on the high payoff activities as well.
Right. And you know, you might go to a conference and you get all these fabulous ideas of things that you want to do and you come home and you're too overwhelmed by all of it. I can help you break that down so that we can say, okay, what are you going to do this week and next week and next week? And then all of a sudden, 60 days from now, you've achieved that goal and it's really exciting.
Okay. So basically breaking things down into manageable chunks, step by step, I suppose.
Right. You know, it's kind of like the old phrase that I've heard, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Because if you try to do the whole big goal at once, you'll never do it. But if you break it down into bite-sized pieces, you can absolutely achieve it.
I totally agree. I've got a lot of friends, and you even face it yourself sometimes when you get something really big on your plate and you think, I've really got to get through this, and you just stare at it and stare at it. And you don't do anything for a while because you think, where do I start?
Right.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that saying, how do you eat an elephant? Because that's an old saying that my dad used to say as well. It must be around a while.
It probably has been.
Yeah. So if you can help those types of people, especially the small business owner, getting up and running, and certainly that's what this is show about. This show is certainly about helping people develop their business and take it to the next level. What about the person who is just a busy mum or a dad in their life and they find as if they're running here and running there, that they don't particularly have time to sit down and just enjoy things? Can you certainly help them as well? Or
I can. You know, I think of one busy dad at my church, and it's really hard when you can see something, you know how to help somebody, but you know, you can't just go up to him and say, hey, I know I can help you. But he's always showing up late when his child is singing at church. We both have young children that sing in the choir at church, and he runs in late. And I can absolutely help with that because I can help people create those boundaries in their life. You know, that's a big part of it, is creating boundaries to say, hey, you know what? I have a commitment tonight and I need to leave work by 5 o'clock to get there. And no matter what, 5 o'clock comes, I'm walking out the door. And it's so interesting how we won't walk out on our boss, but we will walk out on our family. We will be a no-show for our family. We treat them with a little respect. But you know what? In the end, in 1 week, 1 month, 1 year from now, it doesn't matter if you stayed late at work. But it matters to your child that you were there for their baseball game or their dance recital or whatever it is. And so it's really, I love to help parents put that priority back in their life and have a win-win situation.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, gee, you got some good stuff here, I tell you.
Well, thank you.
So is there, I suppose I'll be blunt, is there anyone that you can't help?
You know, the people that I can't help are the ones who aren't willing to make the choices, the different choices in their life, because I can throw all these ideas out, and if they're not willing to do something different, I really can't help them, because in the end, they need to do that for themselves.
Yes, yes, okay. So these little tips that you've got, and especially your book, The 101 Simple Tips, I suppose each of these apply in many facets or many aspects of our lives, don't they?
They do. You can take things that might be aligned for the office and apply them at home and vice versa.
Right. Okay. And just recapping now, where can we actually get this book again?
You can get it on Amazon.com, and it's called Take Back Your Time, 101 Simple Tips to Shrink Your Work Week and Conquer the Chaos in Your Life.
Okay, well, that's pretty simple. And I imagine there's also a link on your website.
There is, so that might make it easier to find, just on shrinkyourworkweek.com.
Okay, and we'll have a link on that on the bottom of this show as well, so you're most welcome to click there as well to find that. So another question I have is, what is the biggest excuse people give saying that they can't possibly get any more time back in their day? What's the biggest excuse they always seem to come up with?
People think of themselves as too important in the scheme of things, that, well, I have to do everything. And they're unwilling to delegate, let something go, let something be undone. And so it's like this ego gets in the way to say that I'm too important to not be there. But guess what? You actually hurt yourself by being too important. So if you're in a corporate environment, for example, you're going to get looked over for promotions because they're going to say, there's no way I can get rid of Sherry. That'd be like cutting my right arm off because she does everything for us. Mm-hmm. If it's in a business world, you actually won't grow your business if you're not willing to let go of things, because you need to be able to take on additional, it's not necessarily staff, but take on the web developer and the virtual assistant and others to help you so you can grow your business.
So in that respect, for the small business or the business owner, you're really saying that the person wants to remain in the trenches and do all the digging and the making sure that things are straight and that sort of thing, when they could really delegate it to someone else to do the same thing?
They could, and it's that old phrase that you hear over and over again of working in your business versus on your business. And the more you stay in your business, the less you're able to grow it.
Yeah, well, that is a very good tip. So if it's a high-priority activity where only you are the only one could ever do it, well, then it's probably important that you do it. But if you're doing something else then that someone else could do just as well in quicker time, then what are you saying? That they should really take over that task?
That they should take over that task. And, you know, it's really interesting. I even have a client who has been for quite a while now. I haven't ever seen it, but I can picture quite the messy office with lots of things that he wants to scan in, like lots of notes and things. Mm-hmm. And he's someone who really gets paid a lot more than it's necessary for him to be standing there scanning things himself. But it's really been challenging for him to let go of that because he wants it to be perfect. Other people won't do things always exactly how we would do it, but perfection slows us down. If we can just say, you know what, let's get it good enough, then we can move forward.
Yeah. And I suppose I agree with that saying, that if it's 90% done and 100% of the population don't care whether it's 90% or 100%, then 90% is good enough.
Right, and you know what? Most of the population won't even know that it wasn't 100%.
Yeah.
You know, I remember back to when I used to be an event planner years ago, and a couple hours before the event was going to start, they were short of these decorations that were supposed to be on the table, and they didn't have enough silverware, and all kinds of crazy things were going on. In the end, it all worked out and we improvised, but no one knew the difference because they didn't know the big plan. They didn't know the 100% plan, and they had a fabulous time, and that's what mattered the most.
Right. So it sounds like you're saying that you're better off being the general of the army rather than the actual soldier worrying about things, not doing things correctly.
Right. If you want to be successful, you do need to do that.
Okay. Well, that's very, very good advice there. So if you're a small business owner, and certainly on our line of work, that if you're doing a small business venture and you want to start by marketing yourself and getting some sort of video program or video promotion together, then it's probably not a great idea to try and get 100% correct before you actually put it up and live, as long as you get your message out there.
Right. And you know, it's interesting about that you happen to mention video. A lot of things that I read about video is that nowadays people don't like the perfect videos. They like the popped it up on my Mac and recorded it at my desk kind of stuff, because it makes us real. Yeah. It makes us human, just like them. And so people really like that.
Yeah, I agree. I was listening to a speaker yesterday, actually, and he was talking about that If you're the best property agent, that doesn't matter. You're actually not selling property. You're actually selling a solution to someone else's problem.
Right.
And it makes so much sense because it's all about people and it's all about relationships.
Right.
Yeah, and I suppose you could apply that in everything we do as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for that, Shari. We're really getting some good information here. Next, we're going to find out about the number one killer of actually doing things and moving forward. But first, we're going to hear a short commercial break and we'll be back in seconds.
Stuck in a rut with your business venture or position at work? You now have the opportunity to break through that invisible barrier that is somewhat holding you back. Implement this proven laws of success with the Absolute Master Teacher. Watch your level of success skyrocket in a matter of days. Simply go to mywealthyweb.com/the-laws. That's mywealthyweb.com/THELAWS and download your copy today. This is one decision that you will be truly thankful for. That's mywealthyweb.com/the-laws.
Welcome back. We're talking with Shari Maguire, and she is explaining the many things which you can do to improve your time management skills. We're going to find out exactly what this killer problem is. So another thing I mentioned, I saw on your website was about procrastination. And a lot of people are just sort of trying to help themselves, but they're really putting off the actual grunt work of getting in and actually stop mucking around and just get in and do something. Can you offer some advice on that?
Sure. So sometimes procrastination is about fear of the unknown and not knowing what to do next. Or it could be that we just feel like the task is too big and we can never get it done. So if it's the former, if it's the I'm too afraid that I might fail or I don't know what I'm doing, just take a breath and say, who could I ask? What could I look up? And how could I do this? And start opening your mind up to answering the question, because your brain will figure it out for you. It's really remarkable how when I get really frustrated with something and I don't know how to get going, and I just start asking those questions, all of a sudden the answers come and I'm like, oh my gosh, of course that's what I need to go do. I need to go talk to this person, or I need to go look up this thing on the internet, whatever it might be. So be open to that. And then if it's just so big, take some time to plan it out and say, okay, so what are the 10 steps I need to do to get this done? Which one needs to go first and second and third? And put those in an order so that you can have a plan, because then you won't say, oh, look at this giant thing I've got going on. It's too overwhelming. I can't ever get it done. You can see just the very first little task that's going to take you an hour. Wow, I can get that done today. And then it feels really good and you start getting some momentum.
Right, so we're not going to set ourselves up to fail. We're going to set ourselves up to actually achieve something first up. Is that what you're saying?
Right, and I'm glad that you mentioned that fail, because there was another old phrase I wanted to bring up that I just love. When we fail to plan, we plan to fail. So taking a few minutes up front to make a plan will set you up for success in the long run.
That's gold. It really is. So for those listeners who are really putting something off and they want to actually make progress in something, make a little list out, and provided you achieve the easier things first, that way you can see, well, I'm actually getting through this list. That sounds really, really good.
And it feels good. People love to check things off their list.
Oh, I know I do.
Me too.
You get a big red pen and you scribe it through and you say, done. Yes. It's really
exactly.
Good stuff. So you mentioned before about someone always showing up late to their child's recital or whatever it might have been for some program that they were doing. In the business world, I noticed this is also the case as well, where I have this old colleague, he always used to show up late and it was his meeting, yet he was always stuck talking to other people. And he never really put enough emphasis on punctuality when other people were involved. Can you sort of give a bit of advice to busy people like that to say, well, you know, if it's your meeting, how can we help you make sure you get to your own meeting on time first up?
Yeah, and that's a tough one because it's that person's behavior that it's really a lot easier to change our own behavior than it is to change someone else's behavior. And so, one thing that I would suggest doing would be to change how you react to it. So, say that you as a group decide, okay, this person, we're going to give them 10 minutes. If they're not there in 10 minutes, we walk out of the meeting. Another thing that you can do is if they've scheduled it to be an hour-long meeting and they show up late, you walk out at the end of the hour and say, you know what, I've got another thing I've got to run to. Because, see, then you can start retraining them to say, okay, gee, if I'm more than 10 minutes late, people aren't going to be hanging out anymore for me. And they also walk out when it's at the top of the meeting. So then it's a like a retraining process. And then another thing that you could go to that person directly with and say, you know what, I noticed that a lot of times you're running late to meetings that you schedule because you've just got so much going on your plate. I wondered what you think if we would just plain schedule the meetings to start 5 minutes after the hour or 10 minutes after the hour so that, to help you out, and then we can all be there on time. And that might be another way to go. I actually used to do that too, with some meetings where I would start them 5 or 10 minutes after the hour because I know other people's meetings, especially when you've got a schedule, you've just got meeting after meeting after meeting, they were going till the top of the hour, and then people would be late to mine. So if I started mine 5 or 10 minutes late, it would give people a chance to run to the restroom, get a drink of water, and be on time for my meeting. If you've got someone just plain that comes to your meetings late all the time, do not wait for them and do not backtrack and bring them up to speed because then you are encouraging that behavior and you're allowing them to be late. But if you start on time and you don't catch them up, they will begin to get the message that, gee, you know what? They started without me and I have no idea where they are because they didn't catch me up on it. I prefer to reward the people who are there on time instead.
Right. That really sounds like not teaching them a lesson, but making sure that they understand that you're just as important because everyone's time's important, isn't it?
Everyone's time is important. There's no one person on that call that's any more important than anybody else. And it's not fair to the people who are on time when you break up your meeting, you bring them up to speed. It's just not right. So they can read the meeting minutes, they can ask you afterwards what they missed, but don't back up for them.
Okay. So I'm a small business owner. I want to get going on my project. I don't know where to start. You've obviously got some great tips that you could share with them to help their time management. What would they do, or what would they, I suppose, what would they get out of you if you were to help them?
So what I would do is we would take a look at the big picture. Like, what would be a common thing that someone that would be listening could be potentially doing as a project?
They have got a small lawn mowing business. And they
Okay.
want to market themselves online, but they don't know how or what to do. All they've done is listen to a podcast saying you can manage your time and you can promote yourself online. What would they do? Because they're confused.
Okay, great. So that's perfect. So let's take this lawn mowing service. So you would take a look at the big chunks first. We would say, okay, well, we need to get a website, and we need to get a web developer, and we need to get some content. What are we going to say on it? What is our marketing message? And so you get those big buckets of things that you need to have, and then you start diving deeper on the web developer. Okay, well, I need to go out and research who is out there, and then I need to talk to them, and then I need to evaluate them, you know, so then you start breaking down these smaller tasks. And so that's what I do, is I help people take that big thing, break it down into smaller chunks, and then break it down even smaller so that we've got it really into things that aren't going to take more than a couple of hours to complete.
So as a consultant, you're almost holding their hand and pointing them in the right direction.
I am, and I can go so far as to keep them accountable. Let's touch base every single day. Send me the note of here's the things I did yesterday, here's what I'm going to do today, here's what I need help with. Or we can touch base weekly, bi-weekly, you know, whatever you want to keep people accountable and moving forward and help with those problems that come up.
Yeah, that certainly sounds like you're taking a big scary chunk out of their way, and they can just follow your lead then.
Right.
That's good. That's good. Okay. Funny you mentioned about website development on that, and that's something that we do as well here at mywealthyweb.com. So if you ever have any questions or anything, just send us an email regarding web development. But certainly, Shari here can certainly point you in the right direction for time management. Have you got something you can give away to our great audience here?
I do. I would love to give you 20 free time management videos. It's a 20-day video course. And wow. If you go to shrinkyourworkweek.com, in the top right, there's just a little box where you can put in your name and your email address, and I'll start sending those out to you right away.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what could they expect for the first video? Something to introduce yourself and all that sort of stuff, or...?
You know, I dive right in.
Really?
I didn't even bother, you know, with this long speech about here's who I am. I just went right to the meat of, because it's really the questions and answers. So the top questions I get and the answers to those questions and the questions you should be asking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that sounds wonderful. So shrinkyourworkweek.com is definitely the place to go there. And time management is a funny concept because we can't actually manage time. We can manage how we act with our time.
You're correct. It's actually behavior management.
Yes, yes. Very, very true. Well, have you got anything else that you'd like to share with our audience before we call it a day?
Well, I think that covered it pretty good there tonight. So this has been really good. I hope you found it helpful, and I appreciate the time tonight.
Mate, I really appreciate you being on our show. It has been fantastic. So if you want to get in touch with Shari, just send her an email via her website here at shrinkyourworkweek.com. Or if you're ever unsure about how to contact, you could always just send us an email via our site as well. Thank you so much for listening. I'm David, and I really appreciate you joining us. And it's all about making sure you get out and do something different with your business by starting today. Thanks for listening.